Thank you for listening to the podcast of Faith Baptist Church of Enfield, Connecticut. We hope and pray that these messages from Pastor Gary will be a help to you. You can find out more about our church at www.fbcenfield.com or find us on Facebook. God bless and enjoy the message.
All right, Ephesians chapter 6. We're into this very important passage of Scripture about the spiritual battle. You can stand. That's the good news. You can stand in the power of God. It was a warm, quiet morning on the Hawaiian island, December 7th, 1941. And there was a clear blue sky, and all of a sudden, bombs started going off. It's black and oily. The men were wakened out of their sleep. And on one of the cruisers, the New Orleans cruiser, there was a chaplain named Howell Forgety, Chaplain Forgety. And as the bombs are going off, he's rallying the men, said, we need to start shooting back. And he goes in the ammunition room, and he finds the ammunition, but he finds out that the lift was not working. So he encouraged the men one by one, formed a line, and started passing the ammunition. Well, this ammunition is pretty heavy, and as they're working, and as the bombs are going off, and as the smoke is going off, they're getting tired and weary, and he's encouraging the men. He puts his hand on the shoulders and says this saying that became famous. He said, "Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition." And that's kind of how we can describe Ephesians chapter 6. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. In other words, God has not left us helpless. He's not left us without a defense. He's not left us without an offense. He has given us the tools to overcome in the Christian life. That's the good news that we have today. For some reason, I don't know what it is, probably our human nature, but it seems like we're almost fatalistic today. We talk about, well, times are tough and people are falling away and there's so many influences and there's evil and there's media, and we talk about all the obstacles. And kind of what Josh said, the quote from Henry Ford, when you believe you can or you can, you'll fulfill it. And if you believe you can overcome, if you believe you're a victim, if you believe, well, the Bible is good and there's a lot of nice things here, but I don't know if I can do it. Well, then, how real is God? We say, well, I'm not perfect and I have mistakes and I fail, and all that is true. But God has promised to us the victory in Jesus. And the victory, of course, probably I should define that I'm talking about, is living for Jesus, fulfilling his will, fulfilling his commandments. All that we've read, because Paul comes here in Ephesians 6, and he says, finally, taking into consideration everything he's talked about up until now, he's telling us, all right, now, we can have the victory. And he's taken his cues from Jesus Christ. Jesus said this in John 6:33, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you'll have what?" What does it say? Boy, you guys don't sound convinced. He says, in me you'll have what?
Peace.
Do we need peace today? Do we need peace in our hearts? How many people are troubled and in different problems and overwhelmed today? Jesus said, in me you may have peace. Now, in the world you will have tribulation, or problems, or trials. In other words, don't expect circumstances to be perfect. We have a perfect God and a powerful God. We can overcome any circumstances. So he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We'll talk a little bit more next week, a definition of the world. But he says, I've overcome. So this peace we have in Jesus, it started with Jesus. And Paul talked about this in Ephesians. Go back to chapter 1. What did he say? We have spiritual blessings in Jesus. We're forgiven in Jesus. We're redeemed by Jesus. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. We have all these promises that we have in Jesus. We're the sons of God. And in Ephesians chapter 1, if we go back there, talks about our position in Jesus. Because we've come into faith with Jesus, we have all of this acceptance, redemption, adoption in Jesus Christ. And so as he comes to the conclusion, verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Now, whose might is it? Huh? It's Jesus's might, God's power. He's not telling you to be strong. He says, be strong in God's power. And then verse 5, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the schemes of the devil. Now, we're going to talk a little bit more next week about this cosmic war because it is a reality. If you believe in good, you have to believe in evil. And what is happening in this world is not just like happiness. It's not in a vacuum. There is an evil force behind what we see going on today. We'll talk about that more next week as we get into verses 12 and 13. But Paul's conclusion to us, or encouragement to us, is be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now, there's two parts here of these verses. First of all, his plan, his might, and his plan. So he's telling us today we can stand, we can overcome. And by the way, to say that it's more difficult today, it's always been difficult. And we talked about the culture in Ephesus. It was very difficult. It's probably more difficult there to live as a Christian than it is in America, where it's still somewhat accepted. And so he's telling us that we need to stand in his might, his power, his strength, and then we need to follow his plan. And that's probably the part that we fail to do. He says, follow his plan. God has a plan. He has a specific plan for us to follow here. When he says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like losing. I don't like to lose. And I hope nobody likes losing. And I'll do all I can to win. Now, if it's in basketball and I'm playing some of these younger guys, I will foul them very hard so I can win. But he says, be strong. Follow the plan. Follow the plan that I have laid out for you. Paul believed in the power of God. We can revisit Ephesians 1:19 where it says, and what does it say? Exceeding greatness of his power toward us. Who what? Believe. What do you have to do to have the power of God in your life? To believe. To believe God. And I hear this so many times. Well, I can't change and I'll never change and I can't do this and this is just the way I am. No, Paul's saying, God can change you. You're never a victim. You're never stuck where you are. He says, according to the working of his mighty power. And then verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. He's saying the power. in which he raised Jesus from the dead is the power that God gives to those who believe in him. He has the power to change our lives. So here's three facts about standing. Number one, we can't stand in our own might. We can't stand in our own might. I think this is the number one mistake we make. How many of you made a New Year's resolution January 1st? How many of you gave up making New Year's resolutions January 1st? How many of you are still keeping your New Year's resolution from January 1st? How many of you have completely forgotten about it? I won't take a raise of hands. Christianity is not self-help. If you go on Amazon, you can find 1,000 self-help books. How to be better, how to do this, how to sell more, how to make more money, how to eat healthier. All these self-help books. And I'm not saying they're bad, good advice, but Christianity is not pick yourself up. Christianity is understand who you are, admit your weakness, and let him pick you up. Let him work in your life. Christianity is not saying you're strong, it's saying he is strong. He is able to give us the power to overcome. It's abiding in him. We say, you know, hang in there, you know, stiff upper lip and all those sayings. But Peter realized this, did he not? Peter said, I'll never deny you, Lord. Peter was sincere. He wasn't just saying that. He really did not want to deny the Lord. He really wanted to stand up for Jesus. But what did Jesus say when he was praying? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. We have to, first of all, understand we can't stand in our own power. I never forget years ago when I was a young Christian. And this was kind of deceiving in a way. But I remember listening to this young pastor. He's a youth pastor. And he had this sermon about fasting. And he talked about how he would take a plate of food out and look at that plate of food, and he would refuse to eat it, and he would tempt himself, and he would talk about how strong he was. Yeah, the pastor's in jail now. We can't do it in ourselves. We're not strong enough. Till we admit that, you can't fight this battle on your own. Paul said this, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, what does he say? He deceives himself. How many times have you said, I'm going to do this and I'm not going to do that and I'm going to do better and you failed? It's because we're doing it in our own strength. We cannot do it in our own strength. We don't have this. It's not our might, it's his might. We have to understand that it's not in ourselves. And sometimes the problem with church, that's why I like that, you know, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition, because they're trying to help each other. Sometimes in a church we make the mistake of like, well, I'm a better Christian because I read 20 chapters of the Bible this week. And maybe you're sitting there saying, I didn't even open the Bible this week. But maybe we should realize, hey, we're all weak in our flesh, and we need the Word of God, and we need to encourage each other. We need to help each other. We need to uplift each other. And so Paul has this warning. There are no superhero Christians. Just because I'm the pastor doesn't mean I have a cape under my shirt. Now, most of you know me pretty well, and that's, you're saying, we never thought that about you. We're all saved by the grace of God. You're not, and this is where the Pharisees were. When you come to the New Testament, when we read the New Testament, we see the Pharisees, these strong religious people, very committed to good works. But Jesus said about them, their heart is very far from me. And so it's not uplifting ourselves. It's about relying on the power of God. And then number two, we can stand when we trust in his might. His might. When we trust in his power, that we can overcome present circumstances, we can overcome past failures, we can break long-standing patterns, we can follow God in spite of the influences around us, and that we can be changed in spite of our own heart. God gives us his power so we can overcome difficulties in life. Now, he doesn't give us his power so we could make $1 million and be the top 10 most richest person. Sometimes we confuse the power of God with self-ambition. God gives us his power, strength, so we can do his will in our lives. Isaiah 40 is a well-known portion of Scripture, but we'll look at it in context. Verse 28 says this, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable." He's talking about God. God is never, it never forwards to voicemail with God. He's always there. He doesn't faint. He's not weary. Notice what he says in verse 29. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Verse 30. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. He's talking about those that trust in their own power. And we think of young people as very powerful, and they're able to overcome a lot more because they rely on their strength. But they will faint. They will become weary. You ever meet somebody you've known a long time, and maybe you went to a high school reunion? My last time I went to a high school reunion, I didn't recognize anybody. They all got old. But he says in verse 31, the verse that probably many of you have memorized, but those that wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We get tired in the spiritual battle. The spiritual battle, it's a struggle. It's a conflict between the flesh and the spirit, between good and evil, between hope and despair, between faith and unbelief, between carnality and spirituality in the life of the believer. This spiritual war is a conflict. But he says, I have strength for you. Walk, you'll walk and not be weary. I'll renew your strength for those that wait on God. And this is the hope today. This is the promise today. This is what Paul says. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. You can be strong in the Lord. We don't have to be fatalistic. We don't have to give up. We don't say, well, this is how it is. No, there is the power of change for us in following Jesus. And as Christians, we can have the victory. Yeah, yes, we get tired. Yes, we get weary. But Paul, what did he say when when he faced one of his greatest trials in 2 Corinthians 12, he talked about that he had this sickness. Some people think he had problems with his eyes. And this was a great distress to him, and he said he prayed 3 times that God would take it from him. And what did God say? He said, my grace is sufficient for you. Because in your weakness, my strength is made great. In other words, in his weakness, he found the strength of God. And sometimes those problems that surround us are what bring us to God and to really understand his power and his work in our lives. And then, finally, we can stand when we follow God's plan. When we follow God's plan. If you remember back in 1991, the first war in the Gulf, it was probably one of the fastest battles on record. And the Americans were outnumbered, but here's the thing. They had a great plan. They knew, this is the thing, we're going to learn about this next week. They knew the plan of the enemy. They knew exactly what Saddam Hussein was going to do. And with that knowledge, they were able to come up with a plan. And they called it the 100-hour war because I can remember back then. A lot of you can't. Some of you weren't born. But I can remember everybody was all worried. And it was an amazing victory. Why? Because we knew the plan. Here's what Paul has given us. Paul has given us the enemy's plan. And in fact, as I've been studying this week, it's all throughout Scripture. Ephesians 6 is kind of, Paul brings it out in the open and just kind of defines it for us and it makes it a little more clear for us. But as you study the Old and New Testament, you see this is pretty clear. Back all the way back to Genesis 3, the plan of the evil one to deceive us and to destroy us hasn't changed. Notice what Paul says. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's saying, you can put it on, what? That you can stand. You can stand. There is hope. There is peace in our hearts through the power of God. It's his strength. Notice what he said and we're going back again to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him, who? God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. His power that works in us. I wonder today if we're, I think there's two things. Do we really want to follow the will of God? That's a good question. Because when we study the scriptures, we see that it's possible to live the Christian life through the power of God. It's impossible to live it through our own power, but it's possible through the power of God. So the question is, do we want to? Because we know that when we say can't, translated in real heart motive is, I don't want to. And we laugh about it with our kids and husband and wives. But the reality is, we all do it. When we don't want to do something, it sounds almost justifiable. I can't. If you know Jesus, been born again. Now this is for, when Paul's talking about this, the first step. The first step to live through the Spirit is to be born again. The first step is to become a Christian. You see, when we're born in this world, we're not born Christians. It doesn't matter if you grew up in a Christian family or not. That's immaterial. We're born in this world. Paul says all have sinned and come short of God's glory. All of us are born in sin. We've all sinned. We've lied. We've stolen. We've had bad thoughts. All those sins. And the only way to pay for those sins is through Jesus. You see, we can't pay for those sins by good works. Really, you realize there's only two religions in the whole world. There's only two religions. Saved by works, which is forms of Christianity and all forms of all kinds. You say by something you do, I do this, I'm going to be saved. And then there's Jesus, who knew we couldn't save ourselves. And the Bible says he came and he died on the cross. Whoever believes. And when Nicodemus came to him, he said, except the man be born of above, born of God, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. So the first step to victory is to know Jesus. To come to a place where you understand that you're a sinner. And then the only way to be saved is to call on the name of the Lord, as it says in Romans. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we believe in our heart that Jesus rose from the dead and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So that's the first step. But I wonder, for us, or for those of us who have come to know Jesus and live by the Spirit, why do we fail? Why do we repeat the same mistakes? There's two things, and it goes back to the beginning. Are we living in His might? Are we following His plan? The story is told of a chess champion who was on vacation in Europe. And one day while visiting an art gallery, he came upon a particular painting that memorized him, mesmerized him. If you can hit the slide because it's not on the notes. The painting was a chess game in which he looked and one of them represented Satan and one of them represented a chess champion who was very frustrated because the game was for his soul. And as this chess champion studied the painting, he sat there and studied it. And it appeared that the devil had checkmate on the champion. And as he was in the museum, this chess champion asked for a chessboard, and he put all the moves out there. And as he looked and he evaluated the chessboard, he said, if I could tell the champion, have hope. It's not all over. If I could tell this young man to stop trembling, to stop being scared, I have good news for you. Satan has tricked you, but you have one last move to win the game. It's never over when you know Jesus. Satan doesn't have the last move. Jesus does. And he can deceive you and trick you and make you have all these negative thoughts. But as we'll see, he has a solution. He has the armor of God. Therefore, he tells us to stand. Let's stand this morning. Let's stand. Maybe this morning you need to be born again. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe this morning you need to renew your faith that, hey, I can have victory. This morning you need to understand that our failure oftentimes is God's opportunity to work. Jesus didn't condemn Peter. He just said, do you love me? stand in power of his might. Maybe you're trying to do it in your own self. Maybe you're trying to pick yourself up and you realize, wait a minute, I want to rely on his power. Maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe you're dealing with anger. Maybe you're dealing with bitterness. Maybe you're dealing with pornography. Maybe you're dealing with something in your life and say, I can't have victory over this. Yes, you can through Jesus. Stop doing it in your power, but be strengthened in his might. Lord, we thank you for this time this morning. We thank you for your goodness, for your love. We thank you for your power. We thank you for victory. Lord, I pray that we would have victory in you. I thank you, Lord, that you forgive us our mistakes, our failings, our sins. And you pick us up and you lift us up. Oh, Lord, the exceeding greatness of your power. Lord, may we trust in you to be renewed like the eagle. Lord, we need your strength. It's difficult. It's challenging today. But we can have victory in you. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, you come. Your opportunity. Maybe you just need to come and pray. Maybe you need to ask God for more strength. Maybe you need to trust him. Stop trusting your might. Trust in his might this morning.